Turn with me to the epistle of 1 John chapter 3. Epistle of 1 John chapter 3. Let me read, actually starting in chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 2, and then through 3, verse 4. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in himself purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. Lord, we stand at a precipice here. Fixing to talk about the most foundational, basic thing in Christianity. It is the foundation upon which everything else we do in the Christian life is based. And so I pray that you would help me, oh Lord, help me this morning, as feeble as I am, to express the importance and the gravity and the seriousness and the blessedness of these sweet truths that you have inscripturated here for us. Aid me, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been extremely slowly trekking my way through 1 John, and this morning we've come to chapter 3. Just as a really quick reminder of this epistle, John wrote his gospel so that you may know about Jesus Christ, that you may know that he was here. And he has written this epistle that you may know if you are in him or not. And to do this, he has got a series of tests that he's running us through. It's really three tests, really. It's a test of purity, it's a test of obedience, and it's a test of love. Those are the tests. And so, if I were writing the epistle, or if a Westerner were to write it, we'd do a three-point sermon, and we'd build on it, and we'd flesh it all out. But that's not how his mind works. He is going to... Like he's on a key ring, start flipping them around. He'll go over one, and he'll go on to the next one, he'll go on to the next one, he'll come back and dig a little deeper into the first one. And so he's cycling through. So his goal and hope is that their joy and our joy might be full and might be complete, and to know we are in God, in Christ. And so that is his focus. And as he comes here, finishing up a test talking about obedience, he's finishing the transition into a test of purity. But he stops here at verse 29 to talk about, however long ago was I preached, verse 29, he talked about being born of him. And he's like, I can't just say that. I have got to stop here and magnify this. So he takes like a little break here in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 a little bit to go over this, to kind of explain it, to just wonder at it. You know, last December, my family, we had the opportunity on a business trip to drive out to San Diego. We drove back, and on the way back, we stopped and went to the Grand Canyon. And at Dean's suggestion, which was a brilliant suggestion, we got up super early in the morning to go out there. We drove out there in darkness, got out of the spot and watched the sun come up over the Grand Canyon, and it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was amazing to stand there, these little insignificant people standing on the cusp of this massive thing. I mean, what is it? It's a big hole. But it's more than that. Words fail me as I try to describe what we saw there. We took a bunch of pictures, but even looking at photographs doesn't capture the awe. As you stand there at the edge of this thing and looking out over it. And again, photos fail to capture or be able to describe what we saw and experienced. Words are going to struggle as well. And I feel like right here, the Apostle John himself is facing the same dilemma as he ponders this idea of being born of God.
And so, you know, he begins with C in our translation.
I have to say, I much prefer the King James Version of the New Bible that says,
Behold! It's a command. It's awe-inspiring. Look at this and wonder and awe and glory at what I'm saying here.
And so what we're talking about today is nothing less than the grandest, mightiest achievement of love since the world was invented.
At the start of the last Iraq war, the troops that went in tried a strategy of shock and awe.
Where they tried to overwhelm the enemy forces by dropping such massive weaponry and oppressive weaponry on them to just cause them to awe and say, okay, I give up. We are outmatched. We are overnumbered. We lay down arms and just give up.
Well, these words here, I think John's goal is that we be in awe here, not in awe of force or violence, but in awe of divine love.
And it is my prayer that I'm able to help express this to you all today. This whole thing is so wonderful and amazing that the apostle just stops in his going through this test to spend a little time digging into it.
Listening to the opening words used by the apostle, he says, we are to behold. Behold what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God.
The love of God is unlike any love that we could possibly experience or know here on earth from any other person.
Either in quantity or in quality.
It is impossible for human beings to match the richness of the love of God that he chooses to show his children. It is so incredible that 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says that angels long to look into this salvation.
They go, just like we went to the Grand Canyon, we just stand in awe of it. They come and look at us and say, what is God doing here?
This is incredible.
So what manner of love has God given us?
The Greek word for what manner is literally translated from what country does this come from?
It is used by Mary when the angel appears to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth.
And she's like, where does the greeting come from a being like this?
She was in awe.
It's also used in Matthew 8:27. After Jesus calms the storm.
And the apostles stand back and said, where's this guy come from?
Like, we can't do this.
We don't know any people that can do this.
He's not like us. He's come from somewhere else.
And right they are. John 8:23, he said to them,
You are from below, I am from above.
You are of this world, I am not of this world.
Jesus Christ, the original E.T.
He's come down from somewhere else.
He is not like anything here that we have ever known or experienced.
And his love is unlike anything we've ever known or experienced as well.
His love is not the kind produced by mankind.
How so?
It is the way of people to love those whom they see.
Something inside of them worthy of love.
Right?
Is it the fault of nature of us to turn away from people who are ungrateful, cruel, selfish, ugly, ill-tempered.
And the like.
We prefer those who love us back.
We are drawn to those who we perceive in some manner are attractive in their personality or in their looks, or some other kernel, nugget there that we like and are drawn to.
That's how we love.
Jesus rebukes this kind of love of his children.
He says, if you love those in Luke chapter 6,
what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
And if you do good to only those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you?
For even sinners do the same.
That's how the world operates.
You're like me. You're my children. I'm bringing you out of this world and making you into something different.
You don't love like that.
Because that's not how you were loved. God does the opposite of what we do. God has loved those who are ugly, who are ungrateful, who are hateful, who are rebellious. We were determined to make God our enemy.
God has determined to make us His children.
Romans 8:5-10 says, God shows His love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God.
For while we were sinners, He reconciled enemies to God.
By the death of His Son.
God's love is not of this earth.
His love is nothing like human love.
You know, and you see it in our terminology, you say, oh, I just fell in love.
Couldn't help myself.
You know, she was so pretty, or he was so handsome, or he said this, or he said that, or there's this thing about us, we just couldn't help ourselves.
God is not followed around His emotions like a puppy dog. God sets His love on someone and loves them. You know, I've used the example before, but I'll say it again.
God is not fooled about the reality of who you and I are.
He's not fooled about me.
You all know me pretty well. I got cold, they know me okay.
But you guys know me better.
My wife and kids who live with me know me a lot better.
But God knows everything about me, everything I've ever done, everything I will do, everything I've said, everything I've thought, or ever will. He knows all of it.
And He knew it before He sent His Son into this world to die for my sin.
He knew it.
And Jesus went to the cross still for me.
I promise you, anyone who could know my entire childhood would not want to see me saved.
But God did.
Because His love is not like our love.
He knows the vile sinner that I am.
And He chose me anyway.
He said, I will love you.
And then He did it.
Jesus set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, determined to do it.
Is it any wonder that angels long to look into this thing?
What? Look at this guy.
God pouring His love on him.
Can you believe it?
Shock and awe. They behold this wonder.
Just like us at the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Love divine, all loves excelling.
Joy of heaven to earth, come down.
John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. By the way, so loved the world.
Don't read that. We get stuck on that translation.
We think God loved the world so much, almost sounds like He
couldn't help but fall in love with us.
Trust me, He didn't help but fall in love with us.
To say He so loved the world means
He loved the world in this way.
That He gave His Son,
that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life.
First John 4:10, in this is love.
Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins.
What does God do with those He sets His love upon?
He saves them who are His enemies.
And makes them His children.
God's love is a love in action.
I use the Mark Webb definition of love, I think it's the best one there is. Love is a self-sacrificing determination to do another good.
And God has done for us the highest good that could possibly be done.
He took action. What is that action?
The action undertook by the Godhead
is to grab the vilest of men
men and women,
to stoop them up,
to cleanse them,
to put them in his kingdom,
and to make them his children. This is not just here in this text.
Words and phrases like this are used over and over again throughout Scripture.
In the passages that Paul read, Galatians 4, Galatians 5 and 6, so that we might receive adoption as sons.
And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
You also see it in the Gospel of John, the first chapter.
But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name,
He gave the right to become children of God.
Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God.
What does it mean that we are his children?
One, it means that we have the unpresumptuous right to call him Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, that's the sample prayer that Jesus gave to us to pray.
Our Father.
Don't take this truth for granted that we get to call Him Father.
It is the wonderful, condescending love of the eternal Father that such as we are called His children.
We who are by nature heirs of sin and guilt and the curse of God, by our own practice are children of corruption and disobedience and ingratitude.
It is marveling that the only holy God is not ashamed to be called Father by us.
And He is not ashamed to call us His children.
Galatians 4:7.
So you are no longer slaves.
But a son.
And if a son, an heir through God.
Romans 8:15.
You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons.
Whom we cry, Abba, Father.
I said, don't take it for granted.
Not everyone can call God Father.
Not truly.
Yes, He created all people.
So in that way, there's some fatherhood there.
But there's a difference.
My wife has been learning to paint lately.
She's made this beautiful painting this morning.
She's going to give her a mother.
It's just gorgeous.
She's getting really good at it.
And she creates these wonderful and beautiful paintings.
And I love them. And she loves them.
Done a great job.
But
those paintings are not the same as our children.
They're different.
Scripture is very careful to distinguish between God's children and who are not.
John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees,
You are of your father, the devil.
And we are so used to the Pharisees and the Pharisees, but they were moral people.
They were good citizens.
They were respected.
They did right things.
And yet their parentage was not ascribed to God.
The universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man is not taught in the Holy Scriptures.
Two, as God's children, we are in an active, intimate, continual relationship with God.
Matthew 7:9-11 says, Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?
If you who are evil know how to give good to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven ask him?
We have a child-parent relationship with God that is special.
I have had the great gift this week to see the most exciting soccer games I have ever seen in my entire life.
Christine, Patrick's daughter, Emma, friend Emma plays soccer.
She's a goalkeeper.
And she's fantastic, and the games were so tense and so exciting.
And there was a moment where the opponent coming down the field, coming down, 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 coming But I turn over to Christy. And she's like,
that's not a goalkeeper.
That's her child.
Her child was almost plowed under by cleats.
And so she was not.
So
I mean, she was not.
I mean,
no one there wanted her. But everybody else was excited about it.
And her mother.
Hey, I
love him too.
I held her since the day she was born.
Jesse and I have known her whole lives.
We love her.
The love her mother has for her, the connection there.
The connection her and her father have for her is special and unique.
And she felt a special kinship there because of her child.
We have the same relationship with God.
He is not far off and distant. He is not sitting out somewhere caring about what happens to us.
He has a vital connection to each and every one of you as you go through pains and difficulties and struggles in your life.
He is there with you.
Every moment of every day, I love the Spanish translation of the Great Commission.
God says, "Behold, I am with you every day, forever."
That is what we have with our Father in heaven. A child has a special relationship.
I will give ear to my own children in a special way.
They have my heart in a way that others don't.
As we sit on the bed together, reading the Bible, spending time in my house, the things we do, the things between me and my child.
So it is special between God and His children.
We have that.
Third, we have a legal standing.
There is a legal side to adoption.
We are heirs. That's a legal term.
We have a right, not because of us, but because of Him.
The promises that we have in Christ.
We will reign.
Second Corinthians 1 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him.
That is why through Him we utter our amen to God.
And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ.
He has anointed us.
Who has also put His seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
There's legal terms there.
Fourthly,
I'm going to go a little bit more into this.
He is imprinting His character on us.
We'll talk more about this in a minute, but for a moment, we are partakers of God's divine nature.
We have been born by the divine Spirit.
So we're partakers. We'll go into that more in just a minute.
The verse goes on, chapter 3, verse 1 says,
And so you are.
This is where we're called the children of God.
Boom! This isn't a lot of soft soap.
I'm not reading to you from a Hallmark greeting card.
These are not the pep talks of a Oprah Winfrey show. I'm not giving some human encouragement.
I'm telling you the words of God. You are His child.
This is not a well-meaning, this is not a finite creature. I hate you got this. I hate that because what it means is you don't really know whether I can do it or not. I'm telling you I can do it, and then when I can't do it, I look all the worse.
This is not that. God is saying you are this.
God is declaring this, and no one can take it away.
God knows me and says this of me.
No one can change it.
The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to its foes. That soul that all hell should endeavor to shake, he will never forsake.
Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all of creation, able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
It's rock solid. It's unchangeable.
It's more stable than gold.
Are you failing in your life? Have you failed?
Have you failed?
Have you failed?
Have you failed as a mother, a father, a husband, or wife?
Have you failed as a child?
Have you failed at work?
Do you fail? Do you fail? Do you feel like a failure?
Do you feel like a failure?
God says,
I don't care.
I don't.
I have good news for you.
I have good
news. And that good news
is
that good news.
You got this.
You got this.
The good news is
a good
God
has you.
God has you.
The sovereign hand
the
of
sovereign
God
hand
has
of
you
God
in his grip.
Has you in his grip.
If you are in Christ.
If you are in Christ.
God's love
God's
for you in
love
Christ Jesus
for you in Christ Jesus
is unshakable.
It does not change.
It does not
based
change
on your feelings.
Based on your
or
feelings.
If you feel like
or
a failure.
If you feel
or if
like
you are
a failure.
Okay.
If you are a
failure.
Great.
Okay.
God
still
loves you.
Great.
That
hasn't
loves
changed.
You.
That hasn't changed.
You are still his child.
You are still his child.
It's not.
We are
it's
becoming.
Not, we are
his
becoming. His
we are right
we
now.
Are.
Right now.
Emma Hines didn't
Emma
have
Hines
to grow
didn't
up and
have
prove
to
herself
up
and some to herself
that
at some point
of her
that
parents
she was worthy
love.
Of her parents' love.
They loved her from the get.
Loved her
God
from the get.
Loves us from
God
the get.
Loves us.
We are not building
get-go.
Up a
we
relationship.
We are not building up
so
a relationship.
So
service to him,
so that he can then love
him,
us.
So that he can then love us.
God calls us first.
God calls us
then,
first.
He conforms us. He conforms
in his image.
In his image.
It isn't straighten up and
it isn't
fly right
theology.
Straighten up and fly right, and then God will love
right,
you. And then God will love you.
God calls us first.
God calls us first,
and we are in every
we are
sense,
in every
his,
sense
child.
His child.
Freddie and Grant and Faye,
Freddie and Grant
and Gloria
Faye,
might grow up and they
Gloria
might fail
might
grow
up
and they
might
fail
at
Scorch.
You
might
fail at everything in your life.
Fail at everything
your
in your
mommy
life.
And daddy
your
mommy
still
and daddy
love you
no matter what.
And if
no
I
matter
who
what
corrupt,
and if I
who and evil
corrupt,
can say that
and evil
how much
can
more
say
can
that?
God
how much more can God?
It's because his love for you
because
is
love
not
for
based
you
is
not
on what he
do.
On what
it's not based
on whether you're
successful.
On whether you're successful.
It's the horror of that wealth and
the horror of that
prosperity gospel stuff.
Prosperity gospel stuff.
God loves you.
God loves you.
And there's nothing on
and
earth,
there's nothing
that, can
on
change
earth
that can change that.
Well, if it's not based on me, well, if it's
then
not
what's
based
on
me, then what's it based on?
Exactly know how to pronounce the Hebrew
exactly
or
how to pronounce
the Greek Hebrew. Or
a description
Greek.
Of this. It's called
a description
by
Edom.
It's called
something
Edom
like that.
Same
for same.
Something like that. Same
why?
For same.
You see these kind
why?
Of things God
you
uses
see these
all
kind
over
Scripture.
God uses
he
uses
it
in
Exodus
16.
He uses it in Exodus
16.
He says, tomorrow's the Sabbath day.
He says, tomorrow's the Sabbath day.
Gather all the food that you're going to bake. What you're going to bake. What you're going to see. What you're going to boil.
That's
item
same for same.
That's
item
same for same.
He does
boil
it in. He does
Exodus
it in.
Exodus
he says,
"I will be
says,
gracious.
I will be
gracious.
Gracious.
Who are you going to be gracious to?
Those I'm going to be gracious to.
Those I'm going to be gracious to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 11.
Deuteronomy
Bob 7, 6 through 11. Bob
the Lord says. He's, the Lord says,
because you're great.
I didn't pick you because you're mighty.
I didn't pick you
because
you were
these great
people.
I
chose
you
because I chose you.
Because I chose
I have loved you
because I have loved
you.
Because
I have loved
you.
Is what
that
says
is to what us.
He says
he loves
us.
He
loves
us.
He loves us.
Because he loves us.
Oh. Oh, that's not very comforting.
It's the most comforting thing
it's
you can hear.
The most comforting thing you can hear.
His love to you is based
on
what you do.
You
can
lose
it. Then you can lose
it. If it's based on some truth
if it's
that
you based
produce
on
in yourself,
you
then
you
can
lose
it.
Then you can
it's
lose it.
It's based on me being an
it's
elder
in
the church.
Well, if
I lose the
elder
church,
well,
if
I lose
the elder ship,
no, it's not based on anything like that.
No, it's not based on
it's based on him.
It's based on
him. He doesn't change. He doesn't change.
That love will not move from me.
That love will not move from me.
I don't want to keep it. I don't
want
to keep it.
I want him.
I want it to be
based
on
him.
I want it to be based on him.
There is a sense. There is a sense
in which this is so staggering and overwhelming,
so staggering
that, it
and overwhelming
becomes,
that it almost
becomes
to
impossible to accept.
And
so
yet,
we
so
are.
We are.
Everything we do is based on this.
Everything
it
we do
starts,
is based on this.
It
here.
Starts here.
Verse 1 of chapter 3
verse
ends
1
with this.
Chapter 3
the reason
ends
why
this.
The world does not
the
know
why the
us
world
is
that
it
did
not
know
us
is that it did not know him.
Do you often get mistaken for a child
you
of
often
God?
Get mistaken
no,
for
I
a
do.
Child of
God?
Try
your
dog.
No.
No.
I go out and tell someone, hey,
if
I go out
I'm a partaker
hey,
of the divine
I'm a partaker
nature.
Of the divine nature.
Like a raven lunatic. People look at me like a raven lunatic.
Why? Why?
Because physically, I don't really
look
like
a child of God.
Really look
like
a child of God.
Most of you don't either.
Most of you don't
right?
either.
They're going,
you
right?
look like everybody else.
They're
going,
you don't look any different.
If you were a child of God, if you were a child of God somewhere, your face would be shining like Moses when it came down. There'd be something physically down. There'd be something physically different about you.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works. How do we manifest this change in our nature?
What does it look like?
What does it look like
for one of us to be born of God?
For one of us to be born of God.
It is seen in how we behave.
It is seen in how we behave.
In adoption, like I said,
in adoption,
there are generally two aspects.
Like
I talked
about one was being
legal.
Legal. There was a few years ago, there was a couple that got in big trouble.
There was a couple that got
in big trouble.
They tried to smuggle
a whole bunch of
kids. They tried to
smuggle out of
Haiti,
and they got in big trouble
because they didn't do the paperwork.
Because they
didn't
do the paperwork.
They can't just go around and grab kids off the street.
They can't just go around and grab kids off the street.
They don't work that way.
It's a legal process.
For the Christian,
that process is called justification.
But there's a second part that I said.
But there's a second part,
and that's the imprinting of our character.
The imprinting of our
adoption
is a process
where
we teach and train our youngsters.
We mold their character.
We mold their character.
My kids love dinosaurs.
My kids love dinosaurs
and reptiles.
Just like me. Isn't that weird? It must be genetic. It must be genetic.
No.
I love
those things.
I share those things with them.
We enjoy
them together.
It's fun.
We enjoy them together.
We talk about them. We love them.
They pick up my traits.
They pick
up my
traits. They pick up Jesse's traits.
It's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence.
And this is how God works in us.
And this is how God works in us.
His Spirit moves in us.
His Spirit molds
us.
He turns us to love the good that we once hated.
I can clearly say that. I can remember thoughts I had. I can remember when I first attended
and friends started coming.
He
looked a lot like us now.
And look at him, and he just always talked Bible.
I remember thinking that. I remember thoughts like that.
The things I didn't like.
The things I didn't like,
I now love.
The things that I once loved,
I now hate.
It's a process.
It's slow.
It's a process. It's slow.
But God works in us and changes
us
after He adopts us as children.
And it's a natural thing.
My kids don't like dinosaurs because they're afraid
I'm going to spank them if they don't
like. Okay? They love dinosaurs naturally. They love dinosaurs naturally.
We love what is good naturally.
We love what is good naturally.
Well, if I don't love this,
he's going to get me. He's going to hit me with that lightning bolt.
No. My father
loves this stuff.
I love it too. He's changing me. He's imprinting his character on me.
Let it never again be said that a Christian
is just a person trying to live a good life.
That he is trying to do
that
a little better than his neighbor.
That he isn't someone who just
goes to church
and makes offerings
and does religious ceremonies
and things
like that.
We do those things, but that's not the core.
Those things are the outflow.
Of the core of who I am.
I am being molded,
and you are being molded
by the Holy Spirit,
just like
by the Holy Spirit, just like
a
stream
smooths
them and softens
them.
And
it takes off the rough edges.
The rocks are in different
states
and different types of rocks.
Some of them take a little longer to wear down than others.
But they're all being molded by the same stream.
By the same Spirit
is working on all of us to mold us and move us
into God's image,
to be like Jesus.
It's not an outward
it's
thing.
It's not just an outward thing.
It's not just
okay,
an outward
it does
thing.
Show on the outward, but
okay,
it's,
it
that's
does
not
show on the outward
where it mainly takes
place.
Not where it mainly takes place.
People
naturally
are obsessed
with pomp and
are
splendor
with pomp
and celebrity and all these kinds of things.
External.
So when they look at us, they expect
to make
maybe
us look
why a lot of people get caught up in
maybe that's why a lot of people get caught up in
stuff like that when it comes to
religious
things.
They
want to look different.
Difference comes from our heart.
But the difference
change
comes from
our
heart.
A change
in character.
A
change in our minds.
They didn't know our Lord either.
They didn't expect
the God of the universe was going to be born in a manger.
They didn't expect the God of the universe,
the Lord and King, their Messiah that they had long awaited
into Jerusalem on a donkey,
that he would die,
on a
terrible
death.
They didn't expect those things.
The world doesn't understand.
John says he was in the world.
John says he was
the
in
world
the world
was made through him. The world was made through
if
him.
The world did not know him. If the world did not know him.
He came to his own.
His own people.
His own.
His own chosen people.
He came to them.
Chosen people. He came to them.
And they did not receive him. And they did not receive him.
They didn't know him.
They don't know us.
They didn't want Jesus. They wanted his miracles.
Jesus.
They wanted miracles and power.
They wanted to overthrow a government.
They wanted to overthrow a government.
Not what God gave them.
Not
what God gave them.
The world does not know us. The world does not know us.
And did not know him.
And it did not
but we know him.
But
we
know him.
And we know one another.
John 17 says, O righteous Father,
John 17
even
though
says,
the world
righteous
does not
Father,
know, even though
you,
the world does
I know
not
you,
know
you, and
I
know
you,
these who you have sent.
And know these who you have sent.
In verse 2, and I need to start going through these verses
two,
a little faster.
In
verse
2,
it says, Beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now.
What we will be
and
what
has not
we will
yet
be,
appeared.
Has not yet
but
appeared.
We know that when he appears,
but
we
know like
that when he appears,
we shall,
see him as he is.
I think most of our troubles
and difficulties
and unhappiness in this life
comes from a failure to understand this truth.
To understand this
we are
truth.
So often full of complaints
we are
and
so often full
we
of
focus mostly
and
on our troubles
we focus mostly
that attend
on our troubles,
us here
instead
of beholding
the
vision
of what we are in Christ
of
and
what
we're being
molded and brought
and
to.
What we're being molded and brought
we
to.
Think in terms
of this
we
life
we think
only,
in terms
not
of
in terms
only,
of eternity
not in terms
of
destiny.
Eternity and our ultimate destiny
what goes on now
in
what
our
goes
lives,
on now,
and what you're dealing with
in our lives,
it doesn't go on forever.
With, this is not the end
go on
state.
Forever.
This is not the end state.
One day
we won't look like
one
what
day,
we look like now.
We won't look like what
the
we
troubles
look like
we
now.
Struggle with
will fade
like a dream
fade
on the breaking
like
of
a
day.
Dream on the breaking of day.
And what is to come?
We will
and what is to come?
We will reign.
We will share
we
fully
reign.
In the real life to come.
And this night, life to come.
Hyperbole.
Our Lord Jesus
hyperbole.
Promised these very
our
things.
Our Lord Jesus promised
like
these
a
very
seed
things.
That goes into
we're
the
like
ground.
A seed
if you look
that
at
goes
a seed,
into the ground.
If you look at a seed, I got it. Okay. Let's say someone gives you a seed and say, hey, this is
the seed of a tree.
Say, hey,
and you didn't know what kind
of
a tree.
Can you tell
you
me
know what
from
kind
the look of the seed
what the tree would look like?
Will
the tree
be
tall or short? Will
the
tree be tall or short? You don't know
from
the seed because
the seed
looks nothing like
what the tree looks like.
What the tree looks like. What sprouts is nothing like the seed, and
what
so it
is
with us
like
as well. And
the
so
body
it
is
with
planted.
Us well
the body
the
is planted, in
but
the
another
breath.
Different, but another
glorified
different
body
will be
glorified
raised on resurrection
will
day.
Be raised
it will be
on
like
resurrection
our
day, and it will be like our Lord's.
One body is planted.
Another is
one
raised.
Body is planted.
We'll be changed bodily.
We'll be changed
we'll be
bodily.
We'll still be connected in our identity.
We'll still be connected.
I think
we
can't talk about this stuff.
I think
we
can't
talk about this
not
stuff.
Not to mention butterflies.
I think this is the whole reason God gave us butterflies.
The whole reason
is for this
God
example.
Gave us butterflies.
What's the difference
for this example?
What's the difference
with
the
worm?
It's
along.
It's ugly.
It's ground bound.
It can't do
anything.
It's bound.
Try not to
get stepped on. Try not to get.
And why would you not step on it? It's gross looking.
Why would you not step on it?
It's gross looking.
Goes into
the worm. And when it comes
into
forth,
the cocoon,
its glory shines.
It looks
glory
nothing like
it
worm.
Looks nothing
it's
like
a, is it a completely different creature?
Well,
it looks completely
different.
Different.
Yeah.
Right? It looks completely
it different.
Different.
Creature?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Is it a different creature?
Still the
well,
same
no.
thing.
It's still the same.
But it's
thing.
Been changed. But it's been changed.
Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15
Corinthians
says.
15,
what is sown,
1 Corinthians 15 says,
dishonor
what is sown
is raised in glory.
In dishonor
what is sown
raised
in weakness.
What is
sown raised
in power.
Is raised it is sown
in natural
in
body.
It is, raised
it is sown in natural
body.
Body.
It is raised
kind
of
an oxymoron.
Body.
Spirit and
body
are
kind
of
an oxymoron.
Things.
Spirit
and body.
Is there a natural body?
Then there's also
is
a
there
spiritual
a natural body?
Body?
Then there's also a spiritual body, Paul says.
This is what is coming.
The struggle.
This is what is coming.
The sorrow. The tears.
The sorrow.
The tears.
It's
and what
away.
We will have will be completely
and what
different.
We will have will be completely
it'll be better.
Different.
It'll be better. Verse 3, as Mark Webb would say,
meanwhile,
Mark
back
Webb
at the
range.
Meanwhile,
we're talking about this glorified, this
right.
perfect
we're talking
state,
about this
looking forward, this perfect
meanwhile,
state, looking
back to right
forward.
Here.
is where we are. Everyone who thus hopes in him, everyone who purifies in him, purifies himself.
How does this coming change? What does this coming change do with this coming change?
Right? How is that supposed to affect me? Right? How is that supposed to affect me?
Well, we live of hope under this banner of hope.
This hope is our north.
This hope is our north star.
It guides our every day.
It guides
our
every
decision.
It guides
our
every decision.
We'll be lost.
Faith and hope are both ways of trusting.
Faith
God.
And hope are
faith
both ways
is resting
of
in
God.
What
faith
is not seen,
but we
know
what
is
true.
Not seen.
Hope
we know
is assurance
true.
That God's going
to
bring about what
is not yet
bring about
a reality.
What is not yet
a reality,
but it's coming.
But it's coming.
Like an engagement.
It's
right?
Like an engagement.
There's the promise.
They're not
right?
Married yet.
There's the promise.
But now everything is different.
But now
even though everything is
marriage
different,
has been brought together yet.
I'm engaged. I'm engaged. What we do
I'm
now?
Engaged.
I'm engaged. What we
we're
do now?
Buy
we're
the planning
dress.
For
we're
the
gonna,
wedding.
We gotta find the place to have
gonna,
the wedding at. We gotta get
the
flowers.
We gotta
get
the
wedding at. We gotta get the flowers.
Meanwhile, I still gotta go to my job.
Meanwhile,
I still gotta go to my
job.
I still gotta, you know, do all the things I'm doing.
I gotta
do all the things I'm doing.
I gotta do my school work.
I'm living my life, but under everything, my life, but under
this great day,
when my life will completely change.
When my life,
it's already changed.
But I'm looking forward
to
a
little
change even
more.
It'll be totally
different than what it is right now.
It'll be totally different than what it is right now.
That is how we live.
That is how we live.
We look ahead at this hope.
We look ahead at
we attend to our jobs. We attend to our families
and so
on and so
forth.
We attend to our families.
But overall, there is this hope.
But overall, there is this
hope
on an expectation
for a day that is coming when everything
when everything will change.
In light of that hope, we make preparation.
In light of that hope, we make
work to make ourselves pure.
We work to make ourselves
we
pure.
Store up for treasure in a place
we
that
store
is
up
eternal.
For treasure in a place
we
that
wait
is
with excitement and expectation.
We wait
what
with excitement
come.
And expectation
far more than
what
we look
to
forward
come.
To anything that'll happen
far
in
more
this
than
life.
We look forward to anything
yes we'll have great times in this life but it ain't
yes we'll have great times in this
compared
life
compared to
it
what's
ain't
coming
nothing compared to what's coming.
When we prepare for our new
when
life,
we prepare for our
wife
new
or
life
husband,
as a
wife or a husband,
or we'll probably read books on how to be a better husband,
we'll
a better wife, how to be a
because
better
we're
husband,
so excited
wife,
at being
because
united
so
to this person
that
we
want
to be the best husband, the best wife,
we
want
to
be the best
possible
be, the best spouse that we could possibly
to love them and encourage them and to build them
love
up
them
and encourage them and to
we'll
build
be
them
ready
up
for that so that we're
we want to be ready for that so that we're
we want to be ready for that
we love them so much we want to be ready for
same here
we're looking for that day. And we will see him
as he is.
And we will see him as he
and we
is.
Want to prepare ourselves.
And we want to prepare ourselves.
So that we're ready to meet him.
We want to
so
love
what
ready
he loves.
To meet him.
Natural.
We want to love what he loves.
We're not, you know,
we're
stop
not,
doing this and doing that because
know,
of some slavish
stop
fear.
Doing this and doing that because of some
we're
slavish fear.
Because he's pure.
That's the one I'm waiting to see.
That's the one I'm excited to see.
I don't
want to
be
that's the one
involved
I'm
in this stuff.
That's
not
stuff
he's not interested
involved
in
this stuff.
I want to
he's not
embrace what he
I
loves.
I want to embrace what he loves.
I want to appear beautiful for him.
I want to appear
beautiful
for him. When he
ready
comes.
To meet him. That's how
ready
we live.
To meet him.
That's how we live.
That's my hope. Galatians 5,
my hope.
5 and 6 says,
Galatians 5,
the Spirit,
5 and 6
by
says,
faith,
we
ourselves
Spirit,
eagerly
faith,
wait
we ourselves
for the hope.
Eagerly
of
wait for the hope
of righteousness.
We're never going to reach sinless perfection. Okay?
We're never
going to
reach
sinless
happen.
Perfection.
Okay?
It's not
going
to happen.
Spend our lives
chasing
we're going to spend our lives
every ounce, every muscle, just like a
every
racer,
ounce, every muscle.
A runner
like a
trains
racer,
and trains and trains with
a
big
runner,
race.
Trains
we're training.
And trains and trains with
we're
a big
pursuing
race.
Pursuing it.
We're training.
We're going to get better and better and better.
We're
we don't
pursuing
get to a point where
we're
going to get
well,
better and better and better. We don't get to a point where we
a runner
say, well,
or a bodybuilder never stops as a runner or a bodybuilder never stops as a
well, that's enough.
No. They keep pressing on to get better
no,
and better.
They
keep
we
pressing
do
on
the
to
same.
Get better and better.
Out of
we
love.
Do the same.
Not fear.
Out of love.
Not fear.
Be serious about it. Be serious about it.
He has put his love into us.
He has
this
put his love
into
us trying to be more like
this
him.
This manifests
we
in us
desire
to, be more
to
like
work
him.
To become
we
more
desire
like him.
To work
or else
to become more
like
him.
We're not really his.
Or else
we're not
if
really
we
his.
Are not his, then friend, I got to tell
if
you.
If we are not his,
wait
then
not
friend,
his.
I got to tell you.
But you can have it.
But you can have
God
it.
Will not reject
God
any sinner who comes to
not
him.
Not reject any
says,
sinner
me.
Who comes to him.
I ain't
says
this.
Save me.
I ain't got this.
loves my God, my Savior, will not
my
turn
God,
you away. My Savior will not turn you away.
Sorry. You won't be sorry.
Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to
Romans
shame.
Romans 5:5, and hope
because
does
God's
not put
love
us to shame.
Has been poured
because
into
God's
our
love has been
through the Holy Spirit
into our hearts,
who has been given
through the Holy
to
Spirit
us.
Who has been given to us.
Let me conclude. Let me
with 2 points.
Conclude with 2 points. One, too much
one,
of our Christianity,
too
today,
much
of
our
Christianity
in our thinking,
and maybe
is focused
on
the blessings
that we receive.
Is focused on the blessings that we receive in this,
and we do get wonderful blessings in this life. We had a great
and
fellowship
we
last
night.
Blessings
we enjoy each other's
a great fellowship last
we
enjoy
night. The songs and the hymns.
We enjoy
the
spending
songs
time together.
We
enjoy
our
life
having purpose
and
meaning.
There's all sorts
of
wonderful purpose and meaning. There's all sorts of wonderful things
that we get in this,
but it shouldn't be our fuel.
But it shouldn't
be
the
thing
that
we
are
all focused on.
It's not the main thing.
It is
not
the main
thing
to compare.
It is nothing
with what is to come.
And so we need to be getting ready for that.
We need to be setting our minds
on that.
We need to be setting our minds on that.
Our time here is short.
Our time here,
but we will live forever.
In glory.
But we will live.
We need to be preparing for that.
In glory.
Thinking of
that.
That is what drives
us.
That
is
why
we
do
what
we
do.
How
we
spend our money.
Where we spend our time.
How we spend our money.
What we
everything.
Spend our time.
We want to be making ourselves ready for that eternity.
Making ourselves ready.
That's where our heart should be. That's where
our heart should be.
That's where our
C.S. Lewis.
Sometimes we're like children.
Says
who can't stop making
mud pies.
Who can't stop making mud pies.
Because we think that's the best there is.
Says we can't get away from these mud pies because
we can't
get away from these mud pies
what it's
because
like
we can't
imagine
what it's like to have a feast by the sea. Don't get bogged down in the difficulties of this
don't
life.
Get bogged down in the
don't get bogged down by its
life.
Pleasures. Don't get bogged down by its pleasures.
Whatever you're going through,
it is small
whatever
potatoes
you're going through,
compared
it is
small
to what
potatoes
is coming.
Compared to what is coming.
That's God's promise.
You can take it to
that's
the
God's promise.
Romans 8:18. For consider that
Romans
the sufferings of this present time
are not worth
sufferings of this present time
that
are not worth
comparing
with the glory that is to be
living
revealed.
In this view,
we
living
have,
in
have
this view,
little trouble.
We have,
in
should
view.
Have
little trouble living. As
two.
We need to be getting dressed
two.
Up. We need
right.
to be getting dressed we, up.
Just and I had a discussion last night. What
right.
are we wearing
to the Dean's celebration thing?
The Dean's celebration thing.
I don't know.
Dressing
you know,
nice.
Trying
we
to,
we
want
to
be dressed up.
When
we go out to an event, we want to be dressed up. We want to be dressed up. When we go out to an event, we want to be dressed up.
There's a story in Matthew 22.
There's a story in Matthew 22.
About a guy
that shows up for a wedding.
And he sits down, and the master of the feast comes around.
And he sits down, and the master of the feast comes around.
Why have you no garment,
friend?
Why
you
have you
on
garment?
Yet and you don't have the wedding garment?
You're not dressed up.
And you don't have the wedding
why?
Garment. You're not dressed up.
Why don't you have
why?
One? How did you get in here without
why
it?
Why don't you have one?
The man has
no
answer
without it.
The man
he is
has
not
no
there to
he
honor
is not
the
there
bride and the groom.
To honor
he's
the
there
bride
he wants
and
food.
The groom.
He wants some.
He's
eat.
There because
he wants
a
food. Good
time.
He wants
to eat.
Put his feet up.
He wants a good time.
He's not there for the right reason.
He's not there
for the right reason.
Bind him up.
And so the master of the feast says, bind him up.
And he is thrown out. And he is thrown out.
We want to be putting on
we the garment of righteousness.
We
want to
be putting on
be working. The
like I said, we're not
going to
reach perfection.
We're not even going to come
like
close.
I said, we're not going to reach perfection.
We're not even
and that's
come
okay.
Close.
Love for God is not based on
and that's
that.
Okay.
But
love
for God
it.
Is not
we
based
long
on
it.
That.
And
we
desire it.
Towards
we
it.
Long for it. And we work towards it.
The scriptures here are exhorting us to that.
But it starts off with the basis of God's love.
But it starts off with the basis
begin.
Of God's love.
Every appeal
that's where
in the New Testament every
that is made for us to do something or to be something
to do something
begins
or to
with
be something.
The doctrine of
begins
God's
with
love us
and
the doctrine
who
of God's
we
are.
We are sons and daughters of the
sons
king.
And daughters
that's
of the King.
Starting point.
That's
from there
point.
We go forward.
From
there
we put on our garments.
Go forward.
From
we'll
there,
stumble
we put on our
all
garments.
The way.
And we'll stumble all the way.
When my little kids were learning to walk, they stumbled and fell.
When my little kids were
but
learning to
tried.
Walk, they stumbled and fell.
God's
but
looking
they
for
tried.
Us to continue to try.
God's looking
he
for us.
He knows that
to
we're going
to
try.
He knows that we're going to fall. Some people will only come to the gospel. Some people will
when
only come to the gospel
tragedy,
looking for comfort,
when
looking, for help,
tragedy,
looking for help,
looking for
they don't think
comfort,
about it.
Looking for help.
Otherwise,
looking for,
they
that's
don't
not
think
what
about
this
it.
Book is used for.
Otherwise,
is to guide.
That's not what this
give
book
us that north star.
Is to
that
guide.
We continually work
give
for.
Us that north star that we continually work for.
I hope that I have put before your eyes today.
I hope
the
that
beauty
I have put before your eyes today
of the love the of God.
Of the
and
love
that
of God.
As you go forth out of here,
and
not
that,
just today, but all
as you
this
go
week,
forth out of here,
as
not
you
just
get bad
today,
news,
but all
as
this
you
week,
get good news,
as you get
as
bad
your
news,
heart aches,
as you get good
sorrow
news,
for
as
some
your
things
heart
going
aches,
on, you remember
sorrow for
some things going on. You remember,
God has called you His child.
It?
He has
God
loved
has
you.
Called you.
He
his
is
child.
Still with you.
He
has
got
you.
He is still with.
He's going to bring.
He has got you
all the way.
And He's going to bring you
all the
way
home. Let's pray.
You take that.
Father, we thank you that you have not. Father, we
do
thank
not
you
those
you
who
not,
come to you in Christ Jesus,
you,
you
know
you not
wise
those who come to you in Christ
off.
Jesus, you know why.
We are yours forever.
Off. Lord, there is nothing in this world that is as
Lord,
beautiful
there is
as that.
Nothing in this world.
Father, help
that is as
help us
as
to
that.
See
that
clearly.
Father, help trim
help us to see that
the
clearly.
Bushes and the hedges
trim
of this world
the bushes
back
and the hedges
so that we can see you clearly.
So
back,
that
we
can so
press
we
ahead.
Can see you clearly.
So that
and
we
Lord,
can press ahead.
You did not set us alone.
And Lord,
we have each
we
other.
Did not
we
set
have
us
our
alone.
Families.
We have
we
this
have
each
family.
Other.
We have
we
our
have
family.
We have this
the
family.
Love for each other. Let
we
us
have
encourage each other.
The
in
love
these
for
things.
Each other. Let us encourage
Lord, that we
each
may
other
draw
in
near
these
to you,
things.
So that when
Lord,
you
that
come
at
your appearing,
we won't.
So
have
that
to
when
be
you
ashamed.
Come at your appearing,
Lord, we
thank
won't have
you
to
that you have
ashamed.
Loved us. Thank you for these words.
Thank
you because
you
know how weak
and prone because
you know how weak
and prone to wander we are.
Thank you for setting it in the heavens and guiding us.
Thank you
Lord,
for setting it
we
in the
pray,
hands and God.
Lord Jesus would come quickly.
Lord, we pray
in His name.
Lord
we pray.
Jesus would come quickly.
In His name we pray.